Appreciate so much the work that Michael and others have done in that. And as thinking about all those that are standing up, it really is a congregational effort. And it's one more way in which we as a church family are seeking to be a light in this community. So I want to challenge you all to be thinking about friends, neighbors, coworkers, others that you can invite to be a part of this great event. Who knows what God has in store because of Family Bible Festival. But it is our prayer that we will be faithful to Him in serving Him in all different capacities, including Family Bible Festival. Today's sermon can be whittled down to two words. So you kind of are off the hook a little bit today, because at the end of the message today, all you really need to know are two words. So if you can't remember what the sermon is about after the message today, then I'm going to wonder a little bit about either my ability to communicate or your ability to listen, because all you're going to need to get is two words. I'm not going to say them right now. We're going to wait till the end to hear these two important words. Our text is Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. We've already looked at it once today, but I'd like to read it again. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. So there's three sort of questions that come out of this text that I'd like us to explore this morning. And then, of course, as we explore these questions at the end, we'll come back to these very important words. But the questions are very simple and straightforward. The first question is, what was it about Jesus that prompted people to bring their children to him? The second question is, why did the disciples rebuke these people who had brought their children to him? What's that about? And then the third question is, what does Jesus mean by saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these? What is that about? These two words really impact all of our relationships, whether it's our marriage relationship, whether it's a relationship with coworkers or relationships within the church family, even just relationships that aren't that deep, that are made maybe in the line at Walmart or HEB. But these two words impact every phase of our life. So these three questions, let's start exploring these three questions. The first one is straightforward. What was it about Jesus that prompted people to bring their children to him? First of all, as we read the Gospels, one thing that we see very clearly is that Jesus' reputation spread. People had come to learn about the power and miracles of Jesus. Likely they had heard his teachings or heard people talk about his teachings. For instance, the Sermon on the Mount, a revolutionary message about loving your enemies and keeping yourself pure and praying for others and seeking reconciliation with those that you might have a conflict with. And so people had started to talk about Jesus. Who is this man? Why are people beginning to follow him and to give their lives over to him? Jesus was making an impact. And so you'd have to imagine parents that have children would want, first of all, not only for themselves to be close to Jesus, to absorb his teachings and his way of life, but also they would want their children to be around Jesus, to be impacted by him, to hear his teachings and things like that. So Jesus' reputation had spread. Second thing is, in that culture, it was normal for different religious figures, whether they were teachers or different leaders, to bless children. There are records of this happening. And so Jesus, in line with rabbis of that day, would have blessed children, would have maybe put his hand on them and said a word of blessing to them. And so perhaps that comes into play as well. That was a religious norm at that time. The second question is simply, why did the disciples rebuke those who were coming to him? What was that about? You would think these disciples would be actually encouraged by children coming to Jesus. So why would they have said either stop to the children or stop to the parents? Well, we also know that children at that time were oftentimes marginalized in society. They were not valued as people. They were kind of like that pest of a dog. Just keep coming around, you know, quit bothering them, always needing more, always needing more. And so children, partly because they couldn't contribute to society like an adult could, they were pushed to the margins of society. And so perhaps the disciples were thinking, Jesus has way more important things to do than to interact with these children. There are people that need to be healed. There are teachings that need to take place. And so it's just not on Jesus' iPhone calendar right now to be interacting with children. Perhaps that's what the disciples were thinking at this time. Jesus is just way too busy for these children right now. That might have been why they did. We're not told exactly why they did. The third question is this. What does Jesus mean by saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these? That the kingdom belongs to the children. Okay, what is that about? First of all, when we're talking about the kingdom, I believe we're talking about both the present and the eternal reign of God. God is not just a kingdom of some future distant world. God is king now. We are citizens and participants of the kingdom right now in the present. It is not just a future reality, but it's a present truth as well. And so when Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, I think he is saying that these children, they exemplify what kingdom living both in the present and in the future is all about. And as we explore this question about what Jesus means by saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, I want us to kind of focus on just a few different concepts, a few different ideas that I think are that help us to understand this a little bit. We think about children. So I wanted to have another prop today, and that was going to be Adeline, but today is just not the day for that. That would have gone poorly, like really badly. And so a little disappointed because I was going to hold Adeline and I was going to talk about kingdom of heaven being such these, not working out. So you all, if you want, you can just like picture Adeline being right here or just some little kid being here. Get in your mind a child. That's what we're after. Get in mind a little baby. First of all, we think about kids. They're dependent on others for food, water, drink, shelter. All of those things, right? They're dependent on others. And you think about our lives as Christians. We are dependent on God. We think that we're independent. We see that in our culture, right? A very independent culture. But the truth of the matter is we are dependent to God for our salvation, for our protection, for our security, even for our worth. And so when Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to these children, I think he is saying in part that we too are dependent on a father like a child is dependent on a father. We need him for our worth, for our protection, for everything that we have. We are dependent on God like a child is dependent on a parent. Secondly, think about a little child. That child is pure. We might use a language even like undefiled. Right? The world's pressure has not gotten to a little child yet, and so there's an innocence about them. They're not self-conscious about things. Their love for their parents and for others is so often free of conditions. They just love people. Adeline will just go to anybody. So, I mean, you can feel proud about Adeline going to, but she'll go to most anybody because she's just pure. She just loves people. She's like a lab puppy dog in some ways. That was not a good way to say, talk about your child. That was bad. But it's kind of true. But you think about a child. I think this is one of the things that Jesus is saying in this purity. A child is a clean slate. And I think one of the things that Jesus is saying is when people come to me, when people honor or declare the lordship of Jesus Christ, they come like babies. They're new. They can be trained and molded into how the Father wants them to be. There's a purity there. I mean, Paul and Jesus himself talk about that often, about coming into the kingdom, coming into a relationship with God. It's like a birth. You're born again, is what Jesus says in John chapter 3. And Romans 6, Paul gives the idea of that as well. We become children of God through the waters of baptism. And so a child is new. One phrase that we love, right, about adults, we don't love it, but it's true, is we say, oh, they're so set in their ways, right? Adeline's not set in their ways. A child's not set in their ways. They're moldable and teachable. And God desires that for us. This mic is cutting out, I can tell. I'm going to turn this one off, and we're going to go with this here, guys. So they're pure. All right, is this one on? There we go. Okay, we're good. The next thing is, a child is trusting. They're not skeptical of others like so often how adults are. And so there were those, when it came to Jesus preaching and teaching, there were adults, many of the Pharisees, in fact, that were saying, no, I won't follow him. I don't believe him. I don't trust him. I don't think that his way is right. I don't think that he is actually the Messiah. And so there were so many people that, because of their preconceived ideas and because of their way of their life, they just said, no, it's not for me. But these children in that moment, these children were coming to him, or these parents were coming to him, and they were saying, teach us. Bless us. Use us for your purposes. And so children are so trusting of others. And of course, with that trusting nature of children, it has a great responsibility to parents and adults as well, to lead them in the proper ways. And then children are vulnerable. Children are willing to be taken care of and led. They're real and authentic. We have all talked about this before, thought about it, how children are brutally honest, right? They just say whatever comes to their mind. But there is even a purity in that. They're not worried about what other people are going to think. They just say what's on their mind. In the same way, as we come to relationship with God, it's not what's this person think, what's this person going to think. It's what does God think? What does He desire for my life? And then finally, children are humble. They're not concerned about competition or comparison games like adults are so good at. They're not worried about what one person has, or how big one person's house is, how fast a person's car is, how big an account is of someone, a bank account of someone else has grown to. They're not worried about those kind of things. They laugh. They smile. They enjoy life. They live in the moment in a way that so often us adults struggle with. So children are humble. They're not thinking about climbing corporate ladders and things like that. Now we need to get this. This story is not necessarily a call. What we're seeing here in Matthew 19, 13 through 15, it's not necessarily a call to imitate the character, all traits of children. It's not cool to do tantrums, to have tantrums, or it's not cool to take toys from other people. That's not good. It's not cool to hit other people, and we deal with that with toddlers and things. But so that's not cool. But it is cool. It is
right, to accept a radically different understanding of status. And that's what we see with children. I think that's what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 19, 13 through 15. So the two words are these. Humble yourself. If we were to whittle this down, I think the two words that we find are humble yourself. You think about the humble. They are dependent on God for their worth and protection and security. The humble are pure in heart. It's who does God see me as? The humble are trusting in God and in others. The humble are willing to be vulnerable, or other words that we could use are real, authentic. They're willing to say, I'm a sinner. Willing to say, I mess up. Willing to say, I'm sorry. Willing to say, that's my bad. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners in need of the grace of God. Some scholars have promulgated that humility before Jesus' time was not a characteristic in which folks should strive for. It was actually something to look down upon. But we know about Jesus that he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus set the characteristic of humility as something that is to be strived for, even though at that time it was looked down upon. And the truth is, when we are humble, we free space in our hearts for God to work in us. You see, while we're proud and arrogant, while we get caught up in all that goes on in our world, what happens is we build up walls. And our hearts become hardened by those walls. God can break through those walls, but sometimes it takes us stepping out in a humble way. So there was a business management class. It was a college course. And it came to the time of the final exam. It was to be a very challenging exam. In fact, the students, many of them, pulled all-nighters preparing for this capstone courses exam. Came time for the exam. Students rolled into the classroom, many of them just exhausted from studying all night. The exam was passed around. There was only one question on the exam, and it was this. What is the name of the janitor who cleans this building? This business management professor was on to something. That, yes, management is important, and yes, you need to contribute to society, but a key part of doing work is the humility to care for all people, to not get so caught up in climbing a corporate ladder or so caught up in all the to-do list and the bottom lines that are out there. But do you care for people? Do you know the name of the janitor? So the two words are this. Humble yourself. As we do that, we free space in our hearts to let God do His work in us. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, we would be glad to pray with you and for you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to put on Jesus in baptism, we would just love to witness you make that decision. So if you have any needs, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue our worship.